All right, we're to it now. Philemon, if you'd please open your books to my good friend right after me, Philemon. We're going to go ahead and we'll start off just by reading the first, the only 25 verses in it. And then we'll get into an introduction and then we'll cover the first 7 verses. The reason that the PowerPoints look a little busy is because I've been teaching this in the teen class, and they have an opportunity to take pictures of it, and I like to put questions in there so that when they're looking at it later, they get a chance to kind of go over the material again. So if it looks busy, don't worry. Pull your phone out. Take a picture. It'll be a great study for you later. So go ahead and start with me, please. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll end at verse 25 when we reach the end. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier in the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Verse 8. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant or slave, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? 17. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, there we go, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So, an introduction to the letter. Philemon, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are considered the prison epistles based on the evidence of Paul stating that he was in prison at the time. Probably good information to know. If Paul says, I'm writing to you from prison or in my imprisonment, he's in jail. So there you go. That makes it easy for you. Many believe that this time of imprisonment is from Acts 28, when Paul spent 2 years imprisoned in Rome. There are others that believe it is when Paul is imprisoned in Caesarea, according to Acts chapters 23 through 27. However, whichever prison sentence Paul is writing from really has no bearing on the nature and content of this letter to Philemon. The subject matter is still true and applicable for all Christians today. So it's not really worth... If you're a high-up scholar, then fine, you guys can debate about it. But for you and me, regular people, it doesn't really matter. We know he's in prison, and the content is the same. Philemon was a slave owner who was converted by Paul's preaching. Maybe not Paul specifically, but preaching that Paul had done in the area that had reached Philemon's ears. Onesimus was a slave owned by Philemon. And he was a thief. He stole from Philemon and he ran away. And while in Rome, we're just going to say Rome to make it easy, Onesimus heard Paul's preaching and he was converted, all right? So we have a letter of redemption and maturity in Christ is the way that I title this. And so now we see the redemption. Onesimus, the runaway slave, has heard the preaching and teaching and now he has been redeemed to God. After becoming a Christian, Paul encouraged Onesimus to return to Philemon and sent him off with a letter. This letter encouraged Philemon and possibly the church, we'll get into that in a minute, to treat Onesimus as a brother in Christ upon his return instead of a thief and runaway slave. And I want to make sure that we, as we understand that this letter is being written to Philemon, think about the maturity in Christ it takes for Onesimus, who has run away, he's escaped. He's basically free now that he's been converted and he is now a baptized believer to go and do what is right and hold up his legal end of the deal from running away. It takes a lot of maturity to own up to what you've done. Onesimus' name means useful, so we read that in verse 11. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. His name means useful, and so Paul says that he was once not useful, but now he is useful. We see redemption in that. The letter he carried was written at the same time as Colossians. We see that in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, when they're writing about who all is there with them. Onesimus is one of the ones who is there. And so we know that he's got that letter with him. The letter is addressed to Philemon, Apaphia, and Archippus, and the church in your house, the church in Philemon's house. And this is the only letter where Paul addresses the church in someone's home as a recipient. And so usually the churches receive the letter, and then it's read aloud to the church. This is a public, private letter. A private public letter. It goes to Philemon, but this letter will still be read to the church. And so we're going to find out that in just a second. Some scholars conclude this is a private but very much public letter. Perhaps Paul expected some influence of the church on Philemon's decision. This would have a profound effect on how we see our fellow Christians' involvement in our lives. I think that's important. Because a lot of times, I don't know about you, but I like to come to church, I like to keep my business to myself, and then whatever I have going on, it has no meaning as far as what you guys want to say about it. I'm going to do my own thing. But that's not how we see Paul writing this letter to Philemon. Philemon's decision, the appeal for Philemon to do the right thing is going to be very much a public thing. And the influence of the fellow Christians hopefully will guide him in the right direction. To understand this correctly, we have to understand a little bit of the first century slave culture. And I'm not going to go super deep into it, but we do know this. The first century Roman Empire was a slave culture and accounted for more than one third of the population. A person became a slave in many ways. You had defeat in war. We read about that in Daniel, right? Captured by the Babylonians. Capture and sale by pirates. Self-sale, payment of debt, and so you owed somebody money and you weren't able to pay it. You could give yourself to these people in their servitude and work your payment off. You could be sentenced by a court for a debt, or you could be a child born into slavery. And from the research that I read, mostly Truth for Today commentaries, most of first century slaves were born into it. Slavery was not seen as degrading as we know it, but could be a horrible situation that depends on the master. In the Roman Empire, many were treated well and had the opportunity to gain freedom by the age of 30. Many were well educated and they were teachers, often teachers of those who employed them. And many times slaves also had slaves themselves. The tension between the practice of slavery and there's a typo there, and the call to Christian brotherhood serves as immediate background for Paul's letter to Philemon. And Paul holds fast to what he wrote in Galatians 3, 28 through 29. In Christ there is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no slave, there is no free, there is no man or woman, all are one in Christ, right? And so we see that Paul carries the same thing over. I think it's important because we want the people we're following, we want their message to have a continuity to it. And so we see him preaching this in Galatians. Now we see him doing the same thing in Philemon. Slavery itself is not condemned in the Bible, but the gospel of Christ set in motion changes that eventually destroyed the institution in many parts of the world, including the United States of America. Very much a Christian-founded reason why slavery was abolished. And so what we hope to achieve over tonight, and then I preach again on the 27th, I believe it is, we're going to finish up Philemon. These are some things that I hope we achieve. To understand the Christian nature in which Paul appeals to Philemon for his treatment of a returning slave who has since been redeemed to God through Christ. Meaning, he was not a Christian when he ran away, and he is a Christian now. And so what are the expectations set? To understand, number two, to understand the Christian maturity it takes to own up to actions done before one knows better. So once I'm sure in his mind, he just wanted to grab some money and run away so he could be free and get on his own. However, he's been redeemed to Christ, and he's being sent back to pay, so to speak, for what he's done wrong. And shouldn't he be forgiven of that since he's been washed in the blood of Christ? Shouldn't we just forgive that? No, he's got some legal obligations he's got to take care of. He's got to own up to what he's done. And we see Paul having him do that, and we see Onesimus following through on that. It takes a lot of maturity in Christ, I think. Number three, to understand the equal value found through Christ for each individual that comes to him. We know it, we say it, but we really are going to see it in place here through Paul's five appeals to Philemon. And finally, to understand how we as Christians can have a positive influence in the decision-making of our fellow Christian. It is important how you and I talk to each other, how we influence each other's decisions. As Mr. Corey talked about this morning, one of the reasons I'm a member of the church is because this is the group of people that want to get to heaven as much as I do, and they're going to help me stay on that path. And so we're going to look at how Christians have a positive influence on the decision-making of one another. And so let's start in verses 1 through 7. Greetings and faith. So verses 1 through 2. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apaphras, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that Paul says he is in prison not because of Christ, but for Christ. Suffering for Christ is an honor. We read that in Acts 5. We read that in 1 Peter, the elect exiles, right? And we read that in Romans 5. And it's done through all the actions of the apostles. They're not in prison, or we don't suffer, or we don't have persecutions because I'm a Christian. It's an honor that we get to do it for Christ. And that's a mindset that we should have. In this letter, Paul mentions several people. He calls Philemon a fellow worker, Apaphras, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church, which is said to meet in Philemon's house. And these are all things that we see in the Bible. Worker, sister, and soldier are individual terms used for a fellow Christian. So we work for the Lord in Colossians 3. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord, according to Matthew 12, what Jesus said. Soldiers for Christ in 2 Timothy. And then, of course, we have the church in Acts 20. And so all these things that Paul has described them as are biblical terms to describe one another. You are my fellow workers, right? You are my fellow soldiers. You're my brothers and my sisters, and also we are the church. What we notice in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you meaning, I hope you find favor in the sight of God. In parentheses, I'd even say, even if you don't deserve it, because that's what grace is, right? It's the wonderful thing. That's what keeps us going. God is the only one who can offer this type of grace, and so let's make sure that we're putting that on the forefront. This is a prayer of blessing that we often see Paul use in the beginning and end of his letters. Romans, Philippians, Titus, 1st, 2nd Timothy, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, go on and on, all of them. They all start with grace to you, and they all end with some sort of version of grace to you. Side note, this is one reason that many people believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, because it starts with grace to you and it ends with grace to you. And so I'm not advocating for anything. I don't want to start a riot. I'm just saying that there's many reasons, but this is kind of a signature of his. Peace to you from God and Jesus, finishing out verse 3, meaning whatever happens to you, if you are suffering for the sake of Christ, have peace. Why? Because the Lord will be faithful to you if you are faithful to him, right? Grace to you, peace to you from God and Jesus. Where do we draw our strength from? Where do we draw our peace from? Where do we draw our will to keep on going when we're being persecuted, when we're imprisoned? It's a lot of times from our fellow brothers and sisters, absolutely, but there's really only one who can give us that true peace, that real contentment, and that comes from God and Jesus. Verses 4 through 5. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Paul is, what do we notice? Paul is thankful enough for his fellow Christians that he thanks God for them. And I think that's important. How thankful are you for your fellow brothers and sisters that you actually go to God in prayer and thank them? When's the last time you wrote a letter to your fellow brother and sister and said, I'm thankful for you? I get them often. I'm really bad at returning them. And I apologize right now in front of everyone for that. I'm not good at that, and I need to be better at that. Paul sees them in such a way that he chooses to pray for them. Why does Paul feel this way? Well, because people talk about what those people, Philemon and the church, are doing. When people are talking, this news has hit his ears. And so don't we too know what is and isn't going on with our brothers and sisters spiritually based on what other people say about them? I know everybody's like, nope, I don't gossip. I don't know what's going on. Well, sometimes it's not gossip when you hear about maybe a brotherhood that's maybe starting to stray a little bit. Or you hear about a church who's doing a really great thing in the community, and you're like, wow, look at them over there. They really got it figured out. The same thing's happening to Paul. He's hearing what's happening, and he is overjoyed. He's going, man, this is great. I hear about what you're doing. I hear about what you guys are doing over there, and it's awesome. And I thank God for you. And so, what are people saying about our love and faith for God and Jesus? People are talking. What are people saying about Choctaw Church of Christ? Think that's something we need to think about? On the other hand, what are people saying about our love for one another? It's another thing to think about. What are they saying about how you and I treat one another? Well, tell me about it. Verse 6. And I pray, continuing on, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Paul prays something specific for Philemon, and that is the sharing of their faith might be effective so that it leads to the full knowledge of what is good in us for the sake of Christ. All right, I'll leave you with that. The sermon's over. No, what does it mean? It's obvious that Philemon must have already been sharing his faith. We know that because the news of what they're doing is reaching Paul. The church is meeting in his house. And so what does Paul mean by all that? He was a known Christian. The community talked about him and his love for Jesus and the saints, and the church even met in his home. So how could Philemon share his faith more effectively? Well, it seems Philemon is not just asked to be sharing his faith of resources, but to share his faith in doing the right thing when it comes to the situation of Onesimus. Again, the church is being addressed this letter. And so how much more do our actions affect people than just what we're saying? It's great that all these people are coming and they're meeting with him and they're meeting in his home and they're doing great things in the community. But the situation with the runaway slave, Philemon has every right to take this guy's life. He stole from him, and he ran away. He's within his legal bounds to treat him as the runaway slave that he is. But he's been redeemed to the Lord. He's now a fellow brother in Christ. Where do I put him now? And that's what this whole letter is about. Verse 6 continued, if Philemon does not respond well to Paul's request to welcome Onesimus back as a brother in Christ, his faith would prove to be ineffective, inactive, and weak. However, if Philemon responds well to Paul's request, he would show himself as humble, a good advice taker. You know, you can be a listener or not do what the person said. You see, Philemon could be a good advice taker, as I put it. And he would be countercultural by doing something different and bold in the name of Christ. That's how you share your faith. You go against the culture and you do the right thing. Action is often the best way to share our faith, and this is what Paul is asking of Philemon. These good things that stimulate action of faithfulness are in us. They're in us. They're ingrained in our nature. I don't know about you, but I often know what's right from wrong before I even have to open my Bible and check. And I have to often make the choice to do what feels good over what I should do. Right? We have the capability of doing the right thing. The motivation for us to always do the right thing is our salvation through Christ. That's what Peter is constantly preaching about, and that's what we see Paul preaching about here. What is your motivation for doing the right thing, Philemon? Well, it's because we have a common salvation in Christ, and so that is your motivation. That is what keeps you going. In verse 7, "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." Paul is ending his niceties, as I'd say it, and formal introduction with verse number 7. Paul says he derives much joy and comfort, and derives means to obtain something from a specific source. It's not just a random, I wake up and I feel happy. I'm obtaining this joy and comfort from a specific place. What is his source of joy and comfort? Well, he says his source is the love that Philemon has for the other Christians that refreshes, or this word means to remove toil, provide rest, or give strength to the hearts of the other saints. Paul is filled with joy and comfort knowing that Philemon is being a Christian brother to other Christians, right? Remove their toil. Let me carry your burden for you. Let's sit and pray. You're hungry. Let's put a meal and a roof over your head for the night. Give strength. I don't know. Sometimes I just need the comforting word of a brother or sister that keeps me on the straight and narrow, and that renews my strength, right? And a lot of times I just have to get into the word, and that's what renews my strength. But it's the joy and comfort Paul's receiving is by the direct actions that Philemon has for his fellow brothers and sisters that he's hearing about, actions that are happening so much that they're reaching Paul where he's at. So that's something to think about. Are our actions, are the things that we're doing to and for one another reaching people far away from us? Well, I mean, lots of questions when you just go verse by verse, applicable questions. Paul expertly speaks to Philemon and doesn't say that he is refreshing hearts just because of his relationship with Jesus. He also gives Philemon the credit, as he has had to make the choice to do the right thing and follow through. I say this all the time, we'll get to it in just a second, but just because you have a relationship with Jesus doesn't mean that magically everything's just going to fall in place and you're going to be perfect and every reaction you have and every relationship you have is just going to work. You have to make the conscious effort to choose the right thing. And then once you've chosen it, you have to follow through and act on it. Because I've chosen to do the right thing more times than I can count and not followed through on it. And at least Paul, I think it's very important that Paul is giving Philemon the credit. You are a strong enough man that you've made these choices and you continue to do this. And so, you know what? That gives me strength. Now it's time for Philemon to get a little fulfilled. And Paul does that expertly. Often, when you go to ask somebody for a heavy thing, I say heavy is the way that Marty McFly used it, as something big. Right? You ask them for something big, you usually like to butter them up a little bit first, right? We see Paul kind of doing this here. But he's not doing it with falsehoods. He's doing it based on the premise of all the things he's heard that are truly going on. And I think that's important. Let's recognize what our brothers and sisters are doing and give them the credit for it. All right? All glory to God. Let's not get big heads, but give people the credit for what they're doing. And there are some takeaways. We'll finish the rest of Philemon the next time we get together at part 2. But here are some takeaways from these first 7 verses that I'd like to give to you. People are going to talk about our spiritual lives. So what will they notice and say about yours? Number two, remember that we should pray for our fellow brothers and sisters, for this is not just the example set forth by Paul, but it is our duty and the love that we have for one another. And we read that in James chapter 5. We are to be constantly loving, praying for one another, and carrying one another's burdens. So are we doing that? Number three, our faith is not just what we share with others, but the love we have for doing the right thing in Christ that leads us into righteous action. All right, I know that's a lot, that's kind of confusing, but James would say you have faith, but you have no works. I show you my faith by my works, right? And so can you say you have faith but and believe in Jesus, but really not be doing anything? No, you cannot. And that is what Paul is talking to Philemon about. So our faith is not just what we share with others. It's not just something for me to share with you. It's something that I have to do. So are you doing your faith? Number four, there is a way in which we approach and speak with one another when we begin to appeal to one another. And Paul sets us up expertly. All right? I notice the great things you've been doing. I see and I hear the wonderful things you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. And then next week we're going to get into the appeals. But now I have something that I'm going to ask of you. And it may be a little countercultural for you, maybe a little uncomfortable. But he set himself up nicely by appealing to Philemon through Christ. So when we come to one another, are we appealing to one's Christ-like nature? Or are we saying, hey, I'm going to come to you and you better do it my way? It doesn't really work like that. Not if you want something. Yeah, I see you shaking your head over there. That doesn't work like that. All right. It doesn't work that way when my kids come up to me and say, Daddy, give me a snack. I go, excuse me. Daddy, may I please have a snack? Whoa, cool. Absolutely. There's some sauerkraut in the fridge. As with Onesimus and Philemon, a relationship with Jesus isn't going to magically make us better people. We must make the conscious decision to follow Christ and then act in a righteous manner unto obedience. All right, and that is what Paul is writing about to Philemon. All right, he's doing all these great things, but I've got something that's going to test your faith. I'm going to ask you to receive a runaway thief slave in the same manner that you would receive an apostle. Can he do it? We actually don't find out. But go ahead and continue reading. Go ahead and go ahead and study, because it's not just the conscious decision to follow Christ, but it's the action that follows through with it. So as we close this evening, we're going to get back into Philemon in 2 weeks. So make sure you come back having read it, and we're going to get into it again verse by verse. Do you have a need that we can fulfill? Are you a brother or sister that is hurting and you need the prayers of the church? Do you need to be refreshed, right? Do you need some strength? That's what we're here for. That's the whole point of us being here, is one another. If you don't have that type of security, if you feel alone, you feel like you don't have any friends, then the church is the best place, in my opinion, to get that. And you can receive that if you come down, you put Christ on in baptism, and we are all one. We're already your friend, but let's be brothers and sisters together. And so if you have any need, the time to come forward is now as we stand and we sing.